Sunday the 14th of June, Kof Bay 7. First in the series, Halacha in the Workplace, Rabbi Yehoshua Posen.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be back here. I'm happy to see that some people have already got a chizuk from the title, chizuk in the Halacha in the Workplace, that seems to imply that it's still a workplace. Maybe as a result of these shiurim, one will be clear what one's doing in the workplace that still is, Baruch Hashem. Sheikh once told Rabbi Saul Salanter that he's decided he wants to stop being the Sheikh in town because he can't handle the pressure. So Rabbi Saul Salanter said, what's the pressure? So he explained the pressure is that if Chas V'Shalom, one of the shechitas that I'm doing, I don't do it properly, I'm not concentrating properly, and I make the animal into a trefa, and as a result of me, people in Shtot are going to eat meat, which is treif meat. So Rasul Salanta said to him, so what are you going to do instead? He said, instead I've decided to open a small business. So Rasul Salanta said, you're giving up being a sheikhet because you can't handle the pressure of being over potentially over on one lap, and instead you're opening up a small business where every single day you have tens and tens of potential issuim that come your way, and that you think is less of a pressure? You can see clearly the perspective that the Gedolim had on how many halachas affect our everyday lives in the workplace is clearly different from our own. The Gemara in Shabbos Daf Lamed Aleph lists various questions that a person is asked Achamei Be'eshem when he goes up to give a din v'cheshbon. The Gemara says the first kasha a person gets asked, a very famous Gemara, the first kasha a person gets asked is Nosata Nosata Be'emuna. Did you conduct your business affairs Be'emuna with honesty, trustfully, ethically? The next question a person gets asked is Kavata Itim Natera. Were you Kavata Itim? Did you have a fixed time every day where you made sure that you learnt the same time every day? The problem is the Gemara in Sanhedrin Dav Zayin tells us Amar of Hamnuna Ein Tchilas Dinu Shel Adam Nidon Elo Adibei Torah, that a person's judgment is first starts off for Dinu Torah, for a person's learning. And Tosfos there asks the question straight away. There seems to be a stira between the two Gemaras. What is the first question which a person gets asked? Is it Nosata Nosata Be'emuna, how did you conduct your business affairs? Or is it Talmud Torah, were you curating material? So Tosfos in his second Teretz answers the first question which a person gets asked, the first question which a person has to answer is how did you conduct your business affairs? Nosata Nosata Be'emuna, did you conduct it honestly? Did you conduct it al pi halacha? However, when it comes to a person receiving judgment on his actions in this world, the first thing a person receives judgment for is for Torah, whether he's sat and learnt or not. So the kasha is obvious, very nice. Tosfos has answered, there's a chiluk. One Gemara is talking about the first kasha you get asked, and the other Gemara is talking about the first thing that you get punished for. But nevertheless, on the contrary, if the two are different, so why don't we get asked first about Torah if that's going to be the first thing which we're going to get punished for? And on the other hand, forget it, if the first question which we get asked is a sata sata munus, so punish us first for that if that's not the case. So Rapam answered like this. He said that the first thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to know is Nosata Nosata Be'emuna. How did you conduct your business affairs? That's the first thing we have to give Din V'cheshbon for. More often than not, if a person can't answer that he conducted his business affairs properly, the reason is because he was not familiar with the halachas that were relevant to how he was meant to be conducting his affairs. Many people who know when you get up in the morning, there's a whole, Mishnah Berurah gives us a whole load of halachas, from when even before we step out of bed, we step out of bed, so we get to shul, how to conduct ourselves in shul, everything, how we eat, our brachas, everything. And then, unfortunately, a lot of people think the moment they leave the house, so to speak, l'havdol, you know, the shulchan aruch gets left behind, and I'll come back to it when I get home. So, says Rapam, that's pshat. The reason, often, more often than not, why a person cannot answer that he conducted his affairs al pi halacha is because he doesn't know the halacha, he's not familiar with all the halachas relevant to him. And therefore, when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving a einush, punishing us, then the first thing he punishes us for is the sliver. The reason why we might not be able to answer in the affirmative to Nosata Nosata Be'emuna is because we weren't correct in the material properly to learn the relevant halachas that we need to know in order to conduct our lives. So, with that in mind, that's the idea behind this series, which hopefully we're going to go through very touch on various different areas in halacha, that at least if the tzitzah is that we have our eyes opened a bit in order to realize that we might come across a potential shaila, then the whole thing would have been worthwhile. Rob in America was once on the way home from shul in Aseres Mitzvah, and he sees a long line of people outside. In America it's a long line, here it's a queue, but people outside his house with the Arbaminim waiting to ask shaylas from the Rav. So he said, I've seen thousands of Esregim, and I've probably never seen a Apostle Esreg. Yeah, Shai's in Hidu, no, but I've probably never seen a Apostle Esreg. And yet, how many people ask Shai's about dollars? I've seen plenty of Apostle dollars. So our perspective, how we look at things, is clearly different from how the Shulchan Aruch looks at things. The Chofetz Chaim says that just like nobody would expect a Kashrus authority to allow a Sheikhut to begin shechting for that Kashrus authority without him having the relevant haskamas and smichas and everything that he needs, you won't just say, oh, you think you know how to shecht, here's a knife, come in and do your business. So same thing, when a person goes to work, why do we assume that we can go to work without first making sure we're clear on the halachas? And he gives an example. He says, we all know when it comes to mitzvahs which have a certain time frame, so let's say for example Mila or Shofar on Rosh Hashanah, so we're all excited to do the mitzvah. The time comes, we're excited for the mitzvah, we do the Mila as early as possible we can in the morning. Shofar on Rosh Hashanah, we've got all sorts of halachas that apply to the fact that we're so eager to do this mitzvah. We don't do anything until we've done this mitzvah. Said, yes, that comes to halachas of Baltovim, of paying a worker on time, which a couple of years ago we had a couple of shirim on. It comes to these halachas of paying a worker on time, and all of a sudden this time watching seems to go out the window. You know, what's the rush? I can't pay him today, I'll pay him tomorrow. So if you imagine a whole shul sitting there on Rosh Hashanah, and they're all davening, and it comes up to the Tzvi HaShef, and we say, we can't do it today, we'll do it tomorrow. No, Nishka Zegavelech. He says, it's better, it's worse. There's a mitzvah I say to blow shofar. There's no love if you don't blow shofar. When it comes to not paying wages on time, again, there's all sorts of halachas, what's called on time, if a person's meichel, which we've been to, various different halachas, but if it comes to a person in a situation where a person be'etzim has the mitzvah of yom tzitzit nesroya, and if he doesn't pay, then he's even not only on mevatel the mitzvah, he's also even a lav. He's even on leson plus sochi. So there, forget, it's worse, but our perception is somewhat different when it comes to matters that involve money. So, Be'etzem in this year, because these series are meant to be relatively self-contained, and that people can hear the shum without necessarily having heard any of the previous shum which we've been through together, so I apologize if we chaz over some of the points which we learned then, although I noted that the topic I'd like to go through today, you've heard here, Bli Ayin Hara, over 1,000 shiurim since when I gave it here, so I'm not so worried that everything will be mamish. And forget, if you all remember it clearly since then even better. So, first of all, before we come on to the halacha I want to touch on is Mechusa Emona. I picked that halacha primarily because those people doing Daf Yomi learned that Gemara of it yesterday, so the background will already be there for those people who learn the Daf. But before we come on to the halacha of Mechusa Emona, two words of advice. The first is the Chofetz Chaim, and the second I'm sure is by many people before me, but I'll give it as my own because I haven't found anyone else yet who gives it. The first is the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim says that whenever two Yidden make an arrangement, it's crucial that they hammer out exactly the pratim, the price, the details, everything should be hammered out before. He said, more often than not, you have a situation where two people, often when they know each other or they feel familiar with each other, they go into an arrangement, a business arrangement, and we'll work it out and then we'll fix the price and whatever it might be. If you pick an extreme example where this happens often, is you get into a taxi cab in Eretz Yisrael, and he doesn't put on the meter, which I think now is illegal, he doesn't put on the meter, and you don't say a price, and he doesn't say a price, and he's very happy that you haven't said a price, and then you go on your trip, and you get to that, and he tells you, hey, it's 35 shkolim. You say, 35 shkolim? Ah, it's never normally more than 20. So there's a Chofetz Chaim, what's going to happen now? You've got one of two options, what can happen? Either, what's probably the more likely option, is you're going to end up having to pay him the 35 shkolim. In which case, Be'etzem, you might not be masking. Had you known that at the beginning, maybe you wouldn't have gone in the cab. So it comes out that Be'etzem, he could be extorting from you money which you're not really masking to pay. The alternative option is even worse. The option that you think you're going to be a knacker and show him He's not going to take you for a ride just because you've got a foreign accent. You're only paying 20 shkolim. You're only paying 20 shkolim. So that's the Chovetz Chaim. So Be'etzem, his price is 35. We've learned when we did our lachos of Baltonin, if a person that is suing a Baltonin after not paying wages on time, but for not paying wages at all, the Shulchan Aruch says you're over on 5 lavin. If a person withholds wages lo'olam, he has no intention of paying them, he's over on 5 lavin. So for your 15 shekel, which you've been marviach, that you think, you know, he didn't take you for a ride, but his price is 35 shkolim, you've only paid him 20, that 15 shkolim is money which he is charging for the work which he's done, and Be'etzem you're over on 5 lavin. Says the Chofetz Chaim, in order to avoid this situation where it's a lose-lose situation, you always have to fix the price at the beginning. Whether it's giving you things to the tailor, going in taxis, or a person comes to give you a rough about, quote, as much as you can. Obviously, sometimes you can't get the price properly hammered out at the beginning, but as much as you can clarify exactly the price, that's what should be done. The second piece of advice is poshut. In order to make the workload in Bati Dinim much less, it would be a lot easier if people would not fall into the trap of going into what's in the streets, they call a haimisha arrangement, what in the business world they call a verbal contract. Very, very often we have two people, two yidden who know each other, who when they have dealt with each other in the past, everything's been fine, kadasa kadin, and they think, yeah, we have an arrangement. So let's say they listen to the first piece of advice and they've taken a fixed price and they've told them, I want you to only to do this bedroom like this and this room like that, and whatever it might be, whatever type of employment or situation it might be. And not only in employment, in transactions, in kinyonim, whatever it is, very often, more often than not, the dinitari which come to Bezin are hogel for the ones which aren't clear. Why aren't they clear? Because there's no contract. There's no written contract. So Reuven Tainer's, now this was agreed, and Shimon says, no, this was agreed. Reuven Tainer's, the price was this, and Shimon says, no, the price was meant to include that. And that's where all the problems start. Now sometimes you feel not the schmuck, you tell a person, no, yeah, okay, but can we have it in writing? What? You don't trust me? But that perspective is about some fallacy. The Shulchan Aruch brings down that when it comes to lending a person money, there's a mefurish halacha, you're mechuyim to ask them to write a shtar. And why are you meant to ask them to write a shtar? Not because you don't trust them, but because if you don't ask them to write a shtar, then it could be your oivon lifneve. Because now, what happens now without a shtar, he might forget, or faket, he now might have a yetzahor, taka not to pay it back, because you've got no way of proving. So faket, there's a mitzvah to ask a person to write a shtar. And pashtos, I haven't seen whether that halacha by halvor applies anywhere else, but even if there's no mitzvah, it's clear that in order that people, there's less temptation to deviate from an agreement. And not only that, when you have to put pen to paper, and you'll see you start arguing over exactly the shonah, sometimes only when you put pen to paper do you become exactly clear on what the arrangement is. So that's the second piece of advice. The first piece of advice is the Chofetz Chaim says that always make sure that all the points are discussed and dealt with at the beginning. And the second thing is, once you've got all those points clarified between the two parties, you should put pen to paper and make sure you have a written contract. Now, if we can move on to the halachas I'd like to discuss today. If we'll see how, if we manage to get through this, maybe we'll move on to some others. The Gemara in Bav Mentzia, Daf Mem Test. The Gemara discusses what happens in the case where you have an agreement between two parties. An agreement, let's say, on a purchase. Right? I go to see my friend's car. I see the car. I like it. He tells me how much it is. I agree a price. And I go home. And now, a day later, whatever, I haven't actually bought it. And I want to change my mind. And the same thing obviously is in property transactions and any other transactions. Is a person allowed to renege on a contract? So we're not talking about here where any kinyonim have been done, because if kinyonim have been done, then you bought it, it's yours, and that's a different child altogether. We're not even talking about where money has exchanged hands, because that's also a different halacha of mishapara, which we're not going to, we'll see if we have time to go into now. We're talking purely a verbal agreement between two parties. He's shown me the car, he's told me the price, I've agreed the price, I've accepted the price, and I'm meant to come back tomorrow with the money. And now I want to change my mind. What's the halacha? So, in legal terms, there's been absolutely nothing. There's no kinyan, there's nothing he can do to stop me going back on my words. Potentially, where there's a written contract, then maybe he can try and sue me to complete, and there's all different technicalities, but by etzem, nothing's actually happened as of yet. So the Gemara brings down a machlekes between Rav and Rabbi Yechon. Rav says, Dvorim ein bahem mishum mechusse emona. Just Dvorim, all we've got is a verbal agreement. There's no mechusse emona. Mechusse emona is an expression used for a person behaving in a way that shows he's lacking in trust, he's not trustworthy, and we'll see in a minute the ramifications for someone who is taken not trustworthy. So Ra says that Dvarim, there's nothing, all we've done, we agreed verbally, he knows and I know, until we've actually done a kinyan, a transaction, nothing's happened, and I can back out. Rabbi Yochanan says, Dvarim yeshem mishum mechus emona. Dvarim, there is a problem of mechus emona. The Gemara, later on, Gemara brings a pasuk. The Gemara says, according to Rav, that Dvarim is mishum mechus emona. What does he do with this pasuk? Ma'atam adoyim ahin tzadek malayhin bechlal eifohi. So the Gemara says that your measurement should be accurate. So it's a hin bechal eifah. If a small measurement has to be accurate, kavuchimah, a bigger measurement has to be accurate. Says the Gemara, elolei malachah shehen shechot tzedek velav shechot tzedek. Your yes should be just, and your no should be just. When you say something, you should stick to your word. So Amar Abaya, no, that's not a raya for Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan is trying to say when you give your word, you have to keep it. So here you find a pasuk that says when you say yes, it should mean yes. You see a raya for Rabbi Yochanan. Ask the Gemara, Abaya, hahu, shayitaba echad bepeh, ve'echad belev. So Abaya says, no, that's talking about a different situation. What's that talking about? That's talking about where at the time when you give your word, you have no intention of keeping it. That's really something else. Not where you give your word and you intend to keep it and now you want to change your mind. But at the time when you gave your word, you had no other minute. You tell a person, yes, I'm going to buy this property, and you know you're not going to buy the property, you're just pulling him along for whatever ulterior motive you have. That is the Issa Deraisa. When you say yes, when you say no, you have to mean it at the time. But if when I said yes, I meant it, and then I changed my mind, that's something else. What's the problem? So that's what the Gemara is saying, but that's to answer according to Rav. The Gemara later on brings a shayla on Rabbi Yochanan. And the shayla is a case where a person gives a present. Someone says, I'm going to give a present. So Rabbi Yochanan says, you can change your mind. If I tell someone I'm going to buy them a big present, I say, see my nephew, it's his birthday, I say, oh, I'm going to buy you a bike. So he says, I'm allowed to change my mind. So Gemara says, I, Rabbi Yochanan, is the one Maldama holds, Advarim Yeshem Mishum Mechus Lemona. When you give your word, you have to keep it. Now here, we've moved away. We were talking about transactions, and now we're talking about presents. But you have to keep your word. So how can Rabbi Yochanan say you can change your mind? Answer the Gemara, it depends if it's Matanam Ruba or Matanam Etis. There's a difference between a big present and a small present. When a person says he's going to give a big present, so then a big present, you don't have gemurah stars, you don't know for sure does he mean it. He says, can I buy you a bike, you know, just for your birthday? No, you don't know if he's going to mean it. So since you don't know if he means it, there's no problem if he changes his mind. But if a person tells you he's going to buy you a small present, so small, again, what's called small and big depends on the relationship between the two people and some other factors as well, but when a person tells you a present that you're entitled to assume he means it, then you're not allowed to change your mind. So that's the Gemara here. When it comes to Shulchan Aruch, we pass in like Rabbi Yochanan. Chesh Mishra on Sim Reish Dalet, Siv Zayin says, Hanoysa noysen bedvarim belvad, Harizei roi lo ilamid bediburi. You have to keep your word. Afa pish lo ilokach ma'adomim klum, even though you haven't received any money, v'lo irosham, v'lo hiniach mashkin, there's been no mashkin given, there hasn't been anything written down or signed. V'chol ha'choyze boi bein lo ikeach, bein moiche, either party wants to be choyze, Afa pish lo inachayav lekabel mishapara. You won't have to be mekabel this klola which I referred to before, which is only when money is actually changed hands. Chazal frown on this type of behavior. It's interesting that Marsham paskins la locha, that if a person is over on mechus emona, if a person goes back on his word, Chazbezin or the people in town who have an authority have a duty to ensure that this person is embarrassed publicly. You have to publicly humiliate him in order to act as a deterrent against people behaving in this way in future. So we've got a problem here. Normally, a person does something where there's a momless issue, so we'll call him into Bez and then we'll make him pay up. But here there's no momless issue. There's an Issuin issue. But it's an Issuin bin Odom Chaveri. You've acted not correctly to your fellow man. So what can we do? So faket. Not only is he, so to speak, called a Rosha, but you should try and humiliate him. You should clap on the bimah and say, so-and-so is a Rosha because he backed out and he reneged on his contract. And that way we hope it will be a deterrent against people behaving like this in the future. The shayla which we now need to know is, are there any exceptions when a person is allowed to back out? So if you take the classic example, I'm negotiating on a property, and I fix a price, 500,000 on the property, he's happy to sell it 500, I'm happy to pay 500, and then the next day there's a slump, if these things can happen over day, hopefully not. And the next day there's a slump in the market, and my agent calls me up and he tells me, don't offer anything over 450. He says, I should change it. So I call him up and I say, okay, I'm sorry, I changed my mind, I only want to pay 450. He says, what are you talking about? We agreed yesterday, 500,000. So he says, if you break your agreement, then you're going back on your word. We agreed 500,000. Is there any leeway here for a person saying, we agreed 500,000, but the price has changed. I want to change as well. I'm not prepared to buy at 500 anymore. So from the Shulchan Aruch, from the Mechabon Ramah, it seems that there isn't. The Ramah, the end of the Siman, brings two shittas. Ramah says as follows. Even though you are able to go back to retract if you haven't yet paid, it's fitting for a person to stick to his word. Even though all he's done is dvorim, it's a shtickle repetitive. This Ramah is really going chazing over what the Mechabad already said before. That's only when there's one price. When the price, the market price, has stayed consistent to what it was at the time when we agreed. If there's been a change in the market price, and that's why one party wants to change their mind, then the Ramah brings this halacha which I told you before. If a person says they're going to give a small present and they don't give it, then they're over mechus amona. And then he brings the yesh oimim dafrido betray tari osa lachser umchaza v'yesh mishum mechus amona. Now those that say even when there's been a price change, it doesn't make a difference. You're not allowed to change your mind. And says the Ramah v'chein ner eker. So Ramah takes the more Chomotic approach. He passes like the Rishonim who hold, you're not allowed to change your mind even when there's been a change of price. This can have major ramifications. Like the example we put before, you agreed to your what you gave your words on the property. Now there's been a major change. No, doesn't make a difference. According to Ramah, you're mechuyev to stick by your word, and you have to buy it at the original price. The Smab says that since the Mechaba earlier, when he wrote this halacha, didn't distinguish between two prices and one price, it seems to be the Mechaba also has the same opinion. A person gives their word, they have to stick to their words, even if there's been a change in the situation. However, there is Chasam Sofer, Rebbe Kivege, and Aruch HaShulchan, all of whom paskin that. Sorry, Chasam Sofer, Vilna Gaon, and Aruch HaShulchan, all of whom paskin that by trade tari, when there's been a change in price, a person is allowed to go back on their word. And their logic is like this. What is the whole reason there's a difference between Matan Mu'etes and Matan Mu'va? Why do we differentiate? Because we say by Matan Mu'etes, a person thinks you mean it. You're serious. When it comes to Matan Mu'va, you aren't serious. So they say when it comes to a person, a change in price, you only gave your word because this was the situation. But now that the situation has changed, market factors have changed, you never had in mind to give your word under those circumstances, and therefore you're allowed to change your mind. It's slightly similar to when a person goes to a chacham to be matir neder. He says, when I made a neder, it's because I thought this and this, but had I known this and this, I would never have done it. So now the situation's changed, so it's after they makel and say you can change your mind. What's that locha?
On one hand, prices change all the time.
Okay, so... Pardon? Yeah, either way, I'm about to change. If you're talking about, for example, currency, yeah, where the prices mamish change all the time, so you can't call necessarily a regular fluctuation, the normal amount it will fluctuate in a day, that obviously at any point in time you give your word, and it could change between now and when actually, if there's a drastic change that's unusual for this kind of time period, then he could say, I don't know, have a minute. Well, you always know when you give your, you know, till it happens, you might lose a bit here, a bit there, but if there's a big change, that's really something else. That's clear. But here as well, that's what the Chasam Sofer and Aruch HaShulchan and Vilna Gaon are saying. It comes from Mishnayim. Rashi already brings it. Rashi brings on the daf that when it comes to a trade tari, a change in market situation, the situation's changed, then a person's also allowed to change their mind.
Correct.
So,
the reality of the situation today with a big purchase, like a house purchase, it's always implied that if the money isn't available, there's so many other things that can go wrong, so the seller knows that it's liable to be
canceled. So it depends. If two parties have agreed have agreed in principle to a purchase of a house, a sale of a house, and all it's dependent on is the person buying it being able to get his mortgage coming through. And now you want to change your mind, you can't, because everything's been put in place, you've fixed the price, everything's agreed. You're waiting for an outside factor to happen. Once that comes through, there's no reason to assume it won't, then it's a kiddie. What happens if you haven't yet fixed price at all? You've agreed in principle, but you haven't yet fixed the price. So then there's no problem changing your mind. Until both parties have fixed the price, then there's nothing. It's not called an agreement, because you don't know when finally he might say his price, might not be masking to that price, and there's no agreement. But when both parties have agreed, all the ICCA terms and conditions, and now it's just a matter of technicalities, of actually making the transfer go through, now you're not allowed to back out.
If you agree the price, and you realize you made a mistake, the price is much higher, then you agree to much less.
That's a good shayla.
It could be something else.
So that's no. You told them if the mortgage. Obviously, you told the subject to mortgage. Subject to mortgage means if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. What can you do?
Subject to his mother-in-law liking.
Oh no, one second. So that's a fact. If you don't tell people any subject to, if you don't put in any clauses.
Commercial property transactions
is implied that you're totally on the mother-in-law. They're mixing in more than they used to. But let me just go back to the shayla which was raised here. The shayla here is what happens at the time when you give your word. You give your word on a property and you're going to pay so much and you didn't realize you made a mistake and really that wasn't the price, that wasn't the right price. You should have put in a much lower bid. What's the halacha there? No. Mekatos is not the right lashon. What possibly would be a shayla would be a no. Mekatos is where the item which you're buying is faulty. There's nothing faulty with this house. A no means the price is the wrong price. Right? Now a no, the problem with a no is that ain't a no b'karkois. Ramon says when it comes to property, there's no such thing as a no. What one man will pay for property is very different from what another man will pay. And apart from that logic, there's a gzeiros hakasav as well. If a person pays 100% more than what the genuine price is, if there we make an exception, say really at that price there'll be a problem or not. But to answer your question, if the situation was exactly as it, nothing's changed. The situation is exactly the same as it was at the time. Just you didn't realize, then that's the problem's on you. Don't give your word.
I'm asking if the seller made the mistake.
I understand. Don't give your word on a transaction. That's the ikka point of Mechusa Mona. Don't give your word until you've done your homework. No, then you can't. He's given his word. He can't back out. If there's been a change in situation, that's already a different story. Let's just get clear first, our locker is how do we pass, and then we'll come back to another practical nafgamina. So what do we do here? On the one hand, you've got the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaba, and the Ramah, all passing, you can't change your mind. Even if there's been a change in situation, then you've got these Achronim, the Chasim Sefer, and the Vilna Gaon, or Chashulchan, saying you can. What do you do in such a situation? So the Sheva Alevi in Chelik Vav Simon Reish Vav says that here we're discussing a Sofik Drabonon. Why Sofik Drabonon? The Gemara says Hin Shechot Tzedek, La Shechot Tzedek, and the Gemara answered, no, that's talking about if at the time when you gave your word you didn't mean it. But the Gemara is only answering that for Rav. We pass like Rabbi Yechon. Rabbi Yechon says Yeshem Mishum Mechus Emona. So if Yeshem Mishum Mechus Emona, Rabbi Yechon can learn that this is the Makor of his Halacha. In which case, if you change it back out on your word, you open it, it's a deraisa. So why is the Sheva Levi saying it's a Sofik Drabon? So the Rosh, actually here, says that it's a Sofik Drabon. That says that this halacha is only Issa Drabon. I, according to Rabbi Yechon, so he says, now the Rosh holds that you can change your mind when there's a change in price. So he says that even since the Gemara later on differentiates between Matana Merubah and Matonu Retes, between a big present and a small present, that already sounds more like Drabonon. Drabonon start making chilukim in how a person thinks and how a person works. But Stam, if you have a posuk that says you're not allowed to change your mind, then Drabonon wouldn't be allowed to come along on the derais and say it applies here, it doesn't apply there. And the posuk says Stam, Hin Shechot Tzedek. So therefore, even Rabbi Yechon, we say the halacha, agrees that midiraisa you're only over, but this is worth noting. Your omen is a deraisa if you give your word on an agreement when you have no intention at the time of giving your word to honor it. That's kaka is a deraisa. When it comes to giving your word and meaning it at the time, and now there's a change in situation, you want to go back on your word, that's now, at the time you meant it, now you want to go back on your word, that's a shine in drabon. So Shevalevi Passman's on a sovereign drabon, we can go lekula, especially we've got three paiskim here, you've got the Gon, or Chashulchan, chasam sefer, and therefore the halacha lemaisa we paskin, if there's been a change in the situation, you're allowed to go back on your word. But let me just throw in a clause here. First of all, it's worth noting that the Aruch HaShulchan brings down, and I think Rav Moshe also quotes in Igus Moshe, that there is so to speak, lotis to ishamayim lifnim yeshu sadin, so honor your words even when there's been a change in price. That's Aleph. But be'ikah halacha, a person is allowed to change their mind, to go back on their word. However, just in the last minute, what happens in the case, this is extremely shchiach, a person goes to a Jewish shop, he walks into the shop, and he says, he'd like to buy a stereo, how much is a stereo? He tells him it's £150, he says, okay, I'm going to come back and buy it tomorrow. Right? Okay, now some people might say that's not called giving your word. Maybe if you run a stereo shop, you'll know that that's standard shchiach of people, to, you know, how they can walk out the shop easier. But let's say Tzaki gives it in a way that you think he means it. He's going to buy it tomorrow. He goes home, and he wants to double check he's buying the right stereo. So he goes online, and he looks, and he sees that not only, yeah, it's Tzaki, a very good stereo, but online you can buy it for £100. So what's Tzaki Halacha then? Now this is not called a change in market. Everybody knows that there are different places you can go and get different prices. And most people who are familiar with online know that you can often buy things online cheaper than you can in a shop. So if you want to check online, then you don't tell the person in the shop, I'm buying it. When you give your word and say, I'm buying it, that means with all factors as they are at the moment, I'm buying it. And therefore, and this is similar to your question before.
The shopper is not accepting that he's going to buy it.
I'm talking about a case, so as I said before, a case where he's actually, let's say you asked him to put on the site. And he didn't lose out by putting on the site. That's not, if he'd lose out, that would be a different child. He puts on the side to you. So that is not called a change in situation. And just one more nakuda, and that's the Beis Ephraim. The Jewish Beis Ephraim says that if there's a massive change in price, then everybody agrees you can change your mind. Now even the Mechab and Ramal agree, if there's a huge change in price, that's no shaykhus. Why? Because the same way, for example, let's say you're buying a property, and the Meicha opens his newspaper the next day, and he sees property prices collapse. So what's the first thing he's going to think? Chaval, I didn't get him to sign beforehand. Why? Because he himself knows if there's a massive change, you're probably going to change your mind. So there, in the case, a drastic situation where there's a huge change, and again, what's called a huge change, one has to ask, depending on the situation, then l'kuli alma, l'alocha treitari will apply, and the person there to go back on their word. Mr. Hashem, in the next shay, which is in 2 weeks' time, those people doing dafayim will be in the middle of Ezer Meshach, so it's probably a good time to get a little bit stuck into the hilchos ribbis that negia in the workplace.